morning, everybody. Matt Pavala here with you on 720 WGN, 207 in the AM. Thanks for staying up late with us. We're live in the Skyline Studios here on Columbus and Wacker in downtown Chicago. Joining us in the studio right now is my buddy Grant Warner. He's a partner at the Karis Restaurant Group, and John Sundell, who is also with the Karis Restaurant Group. Thought we'd have him in to talk a little bit about the suburban restaurant scene and what it takes to make it in the restaurant business these days. Grant, welcome to the show. John, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Matt.
This is like a normal time for you guys. This is not like out of the ordinary really late for you, is it?
Well, a lot of our places are just closing now or open for about another hour. So yeah, we do work very odd hours.
Yeah. Does your day usually start more afternoonish?
My day usually starts around 10 a.m., and I usually work till around 8 or 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Some nights I stay late when it's busy, like we have the UFC fight or a football game, something going on at one of the rookies' locations.
Yeah. Is it generally, in the restaurant business, Friday, Saturday night are the nights? Is that where the money is made?
Yeah, Friday and Saturday nights are definitely the busy nights in the restaurant, but, you know, a lot of our restaurants stay busy throughout the week, which is one of the things that helps us be successful.
Yeah. But it's like anything else, you need the nights that are insane to really make the profits, probably, right? Is it the nights where there's a bear, like last night must have been an insane night for the Rookies brand, at least, right?
Yeah, Rookies was really busy with the opening against Bears and Packers, and yeah, football is really our season for Rookies.
Yeah. Sundays all day long are pretty crazy.
Yeah, Sundays all day long, people, you know, start lining up at the doors to get in at 11 a.m. to get a good seat, you know.
Yeah. The Cubs run of 2016 must have been great.
Yeah, so especially, you know, that's always, you know, any of the playoffs or when the Cubs, Bulls, Sox, Bears, any of the Chicago teams are doing well is always good for us because it's extra business that we wouldn't normally have, especially if it's like a weeknight playoff game.
Where you wouldn't already have people in the door like you would on a Friday, Saturday night.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. I never really thought about the economy in that way, though. We know that sports affect our economy, but they must really affect sports bars and sports themed restaurants. I know that, like, when I'm watching a Hawks game at a Rookies, I believe you guys have the lights go on or the sirens go off when the Hawks score a goal, right? Have I seen that before at a Rookies?
Yeah, it's really cool. We have something called Stadium FX, and basically, if they score, we have the red flashing lights, Chelsea dagger plays. We also have little blurbs we can play, you know, during good plays, and, you know, just like you're at the stadium.
Yeah. Now, is that set up that it automatically happens, or does somebody working that night at Rookies have to be paying attention to the game to know to flip that on when the Hawks score a goal?
Yeah, you got to be paying attention. So the manager or one of the bartenders, you know, we have tablets and stuff where you can hit the button.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
But so then if the Hawks suck or the Bears suck or the Cubs and Sox, if everybody just sucks, that really would affect you guys, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, football, in all the other sports, yes, but football, people still come out for the games.
No matter what.
Football, correct.
Still people coming out to hang out and watch the games.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. So, give us the rundown at Karis Restaurant Group. You guys have the Rookies brand. How many locations of Rookies are there?
Right now, we have 5 locations. We have the original location, which opened in, which Bob Karis opened in 1998 in St. Charles. Then we opened up Elgin, and then we opened up Huntley, Hoffman Estates, and we opened Roselle. We're about to come up on our one-year anniversary in Roselle.
Wow. And what other? And I know Village Squire is another one of the
brands. Village Squire, actually, you know, Bobby's father immigrated here in the 60s, and he opened up the first Village Squire in West Dundee, then brought his brother over, George Karis, and they ended up opening up Crystal Lake. We have a location in McHenry, and then South Elgin is the newest Village Squire.
Okay. So Village Squire was the first restaurant in the group?
Correct, yes.
And in Weston, the one right there in West Dundee,
right
by my house. Oh, that's excellent. Okay. And then Old Republic is a great hamburger beer place, basically, right?
Yeah, we have another concept we opened up about a year and a half ago, Old Republic in Elgin. And we also have the Alexander's locations, which is in Elgin and St. Charles.
And Alexander's is really good right off 31 there on 90 and 31. There's an Alexander's where we have breakfast and dinner. And what I love, my favorite thing about Alexander's is because there's some great breakfast restaurants, and it's a very popular thing right now, are these breakfast restaurants that close by 2 p.m. every day, and that's it. But I think anybody loves once in a while having breakfast for dinner. And all these great breakfast places are never open for dinner. But Alexander's has a at least partial breakfast menu all day long.
Yeah, breakfast all day. The interesting thing about the restaurant business is, you know, people are always looking for the new best thing, whether it's fast casual or casual dining, and breakfast has been a big segment here in the last few years, so there's been a lot of breakfast concepts open up all around.
Are you surprised? Because, and they've got a lot downtown too, and every town we're in, there's a bunch of different places that are these just open till 2 p.m. breakfast places. I'm always surprised by that, because most restaurants are an all-day affair, and I always think, boy, they must... Because you're still paying the same rent, you're still paying all these other things. I guess your electricity is less, or certain things like that, and your employee costs are less. But to own the property or rent the property and do all those things you do to not have it open those other 8 hours of the day that you could be making money is always surprising to me. Are you surprised that those have been as successful and popular as they are?
Not really, because breakfast places are interesting because our two main costs in the restaurant business are food and labor, and mm-hmm. both those food and labor have been increasing drastically over the last few years. But with breakfast, you have a lower food cost. And your labor cost is lower, too, because you're not keeping cooks on all day. You're closing at 2 o'clock. So you're able to keep those costs better in line almost with a breakfast place, whether with labor and food, mm-hmm. To help control your bottom line a little better.
But that's interesting, because my assumption would be, Grant, that dinner plates generally cost more. And I think they generally do, like, you know, roast beef, a steak, or things like that people are going to order dinner. If you have a higher cost there, still the same labor cost. I know the food costs also undoubtedly higher. But I would think that that's where the money, if we're taking alcohol out of it, and food-wise, I would have thought that a dinner, doing well at dinner is going to make you more money than doing well at breakfast.
Yeah, you're carrying a higher cost inventory. Okay. So you're spending more to make that money at dinner than you are for, per se, like bacon and eggs and hash browns.
And thereby taking a bigger risk? Because then if people don't show up, you still bought that food versus breakfast, it's a little more easy to carry that burden.
Yeah, so most of our restaurants are sitting on about a $30,000 inventory that's, you know, goes bad in 2 to 3 days. So
you got to churn it.
Yeah, so volume is key, and, you know, keeping the products fresh. And
yeah.
You know.
Interesting. Have you guys thought about opening a breakfast place? Have you guys talked about that at all? I mean, how what is the debate within a restaurant group in what is the next thing? Because I imagine with rookies, you're opening, you've opened 5 rookies, so that's a success. You've done multiple Village Squires. You've got this Old Republic. What do you guys sit around talking about when you figure out, is it more about location or is it about what the trends are? How do you guys decide what's next?
We talk about it all. So we talk about, you know, what we can do to increase traffic, you know, where, you know, trends are going to stay current with the menu. Fast casual is a competitive part of our business now that is, you know, we have to think about because...
is fast casual?
Fast casual is, say, the Paneras and the Chipotles of the world, yeah. where people are going and they're getting some pretty good food, yeah. you know, quickly. So what can we do to bring them into our restaurants, to get them to sit down, to get waited upon? You know, we stay consistently, have to be training, you know, good service, consistently, you know, great ingredients, bringing in... fresh ingredients, keeping our menu options fresh. You know, we do specials every 3 months, you know, change up a menu. We just had a very popular, we did a Greek fest at the Village Squire through the month of August, which was very successful for us. So, you know, through marketing, new menu items, we try and keep the people coming in the door.
Yeah. It's got to be a constant battle, I imagine, keeping up with the trends or what's next or what's working, what's not. How much do you guys pay attention to that? Is it something that you're constantly doing the whole time? Or if a restaurant's doing well, are you then trying to figure out, well, why is it doing well and how do we replicate that in other places?
Yeah, you know, so consistency is key in our business. It's when a guest goes out, they want good service, great service, great food, and consistency from one place to the next if you own multiple places. So it's the ongoing training within our restaurants to make sure the consistency's there and that they're getting that same dish and same service everywhere they go. You know, the restaurant business, guests are not very forgiving these days because there's so much competition out there.
Yeah.
So any little misstep can cost you a guest, which in return can cost you 5 guests. You know what
yeah.
they say? One person tells 5, so.
Yeah, is that what they say? You know, my production company works a lot in the veterinary space, and our friend Dr. Natalie Marks, who's owned a really popular practice here in Chicago, they work so much on their social media and their Yelp, and she's talked a lot about how Yelp reviews can make or break a small business. Is that a big deal for you guys? Do people go on Yelp and complain or like you know, the restaurant, and is that an issue you really have to watch?
They do. We Yelp can be a little political because they try and get us to buy advertising,
right?
And they set up their parameters how people can write reviews, where they show up on the website when someone searches your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We like to look at Google reviews for a more accurate assessment of our restaurants. We feel that that's the customer that's coming in, that's going on Google, and you know, the Yelpers tend to be more negative. Mm-hmm. Where the Googles are more honest, where we'll have positive, we'll have negative, and we always, anytime we get a negative comment, we always try and follow up on it, follow up with the person who made the comment, and then, you know, do some training in the restaurants to make sure things don't happen again like that.
Interesting. What is the biggest part of being a successful restaurant? Is it just, it's all about location? Is it about the food and the atmosphere? Is it about the staff? If there was one thing you said, well, this has got to work for everything else to fall in line.
You know, it's really the people that work for us. The one thing the Karis's have going for them is they've been in business for over 30 years, and there, it'd be hard to find a person that doesn't say they had a good relationship with them or they didn't treat them well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just treating your people right and knowing that if you treat them right, they'll treat our customers and guests right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being more of a family than you know, we consider it family, not employees, you know, when with our team members in our restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that is important, and then that trickles down to the customers, and they're happy they're going to keep coming back. 312-981-7200, if you have any questions about the restaurant biz, we've got Grant Werner in here from the Karis Restaurant Group. John Sundell, who's also with the group, is in with us too. 312-981-7200, I have to ask you about tipping. I've got questions about tipping. We'll get to that next here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. Grant Werner and John Sundell are in from the Karis Restaurant Group. If you've heard of Rookies out in the burbs, of Alexander's, Old Republic, and Village Squire, where we actually did a Hometown Voices a few years ago with John and Marianne, right? Yeah, we did that out there with them. They're in studio with us for a little bit longer, and if you've got a question, 312-981-7200. So tipping. In general, I always give a 20% tip. Unless, like, something goes terribly awry. And then I still tip, like, 15% because I feel bad. But in general, what are people tipping at these days? And how important is that for the servers that they're getting those tips within their wages?
It's very important. You know, our servers work really hard. A lot of them work doubles. A lot of them, it's their full-time job. Some of them are, you know, supporting a family.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 15 to 20% is still the average tip. You know, sometimes a little bit more, you know, some people a little bit more generous. But yeah, you do see it in tips. If people are not happy, they will tip a little less. But
yeah,
for the majority, you know, we seem, our servers and our team tend to do pretty well with 15 to 20% tips.
I remember last time I was a waiter was like 30 years ago when I was just in college in the summer. And if there was a party of eight or more, we could add on a tip. Is that legal to do? I thought I remember that being banned in Illinois. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, they didn't ban it. They changed the laws around a little bit where now the business has to pay taxes on that gratuity. So we basically eliminated it in our restaurants. So we didn't, because, you know, then you have to track it and file it. So we don't do that anymore. We don't add gratuity.
That makes it tough on the servers, though.
It does. But, you know, if they're giving good service, they should get a good tip.
They should. They should, but I'll tell you what, when I was a server, then you get this group of high school kids in, and then they would all ask for separate checks, so you couldn't add on the, and then you get stiffed on the tip, because high school kids are high school kids.
Yeah, I remember too, when I served, it's, you know, you might get that bad tip once in a while, but in the long run, you make out
okay. The good
okay.
ones make up for it, definitely.
Correct.
That's for sure. 312-981-7200. Oh, Jim has a comment. Jim's in Elmhurst, and he's on 720 WGN. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Well, I could be better if I was at Rookies.
No, there you go. Although they'd be closed, they'd be kicking you out, so you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, I've had that happen a couple of times.
Elgin's open until 3 right now.
Oh, are they really?
I've got kicked out at closing time at Roselle and at Hoffman Estates.
Nice. What did you want to say about Rookies?
My friends and I love going to Rookies for all the sporting events and their drink and food specials. They get great food. And then we hit Village Squires quite a bit for birthdays and anniversaries and just regular during the week dinners. And we hit Alexander's quite a bit too for weekend breakfasts. Yeah. I love all their establishments. It's great food and great prices, great staff. It's awesome.
Excellent. All right. Thanks so much for checking in, Jim. We really appreciate it. Look at that. What, did you plant that, Grant? Was that set up?
Jim, thanks for the feedback. We appreciate it.
You had a frequent flyer there. I read a story a couple of years ago about McDonald's and about their profits and how it works. And it was interesting. Because he makes me think of this, Jim does, because it talked about how they have like a certain segment of the customers at McDonald's like are there all the time. Like every day, and they buy so much, and how important they are to their overall profits. A guy like Jim, who sounds like he's eating at your establishments very often, is there a certain segment that is regular customers that are there that you guys, you know, really rely on, that they come in all the time? I mean, not just within your group, but within any group. Is that, do you guys think about customers in that way? Like, there's people that come in for events, there's people that come in because they're in town that are casual, and then there's people that are here all the time that we really get to know, and they end up being a core part of, like, of a property itself?
Yeah, that's a big part of our business. We, you know, again, just like we treat our team members like family, we like to know our guests, be on a first-name basis with them, shake their hands. We have a lot of regulars that come in, to especially rookies that, you know, sit at the bar for sports, you know, Alexander's for breakfast and lunch, and other concepts as well. And we always try and be on a first name basis, you know, talk to them, know about them and their families, yeah, and what's going on. And it makes people feel special. And it's like, it's kind of like, you know, I hate to say this, but going back to Cheers, you know, mm-hmm, where everybody knows your name.
Sure.
You know, people like to go where they're recognized, people know them, and they're comfortable.
Yeah, and that makes sense, especially if it's somebody who's not just coming for a dinner with somebody and leaving, but if people are hanging out, then they need to feel comfortable, and that makes them want to keep coming back, I guess, as sort of a place I go hang out and I feel good and enjoy myself.
Absolutely, and, you know, again, consistency with the food, the service, you know, cleanliness, yeah, of the restaurant. We take great pride in making sure, you know, we execute on all those levels.
When you guys are looking at the menus that you have, how do you decide something new that goes on a menu? How much ideation goes into that, or testing of a food, or is it about what you read about, or this is a hot thing right now, or how do you guys do that?
So one of my other roles within the company is I'm also our corporate chef, so I'm constantly working on menus and improving our, you know, our operations. And I used to work back in the day, I worked for some chains, and I have a lot of experience there. So, you know, chains put a lot of money into research and, mm-hmm, what's popular, what's trending. So we'll a lot of times look to see what some of the more popular concepts are doing, what's trending. You know, I just went to an American Culinary Conference in Orlando where they talked about menu trends coming up, and we're always trying to be on top of that, see what other people are doing, and stay competitive in our market.
That's interesting. You know, Portillo's just went national. Dick Portillo sold Portillo's for
lots of money.
Like $1 billion or something crazy, right? Maybe not that much, but a lot. And now they're opening up across the country. And I've got a story here in the Tribune about Cooper's Hawk, which is like the fastest growing suburban restaurant and winery in the nation. With the Karras family, you know, you've got a bunch of rookies, you've got some other things. What is the idea of a local restaurant chain like that? Is it, no, it's just a local, or are there always in the back of your mind ambitions to find that one thing that hits that people want to invest in and take national?
You know, I don't think we're ever going to go national. You know, maybe if Bob retires in Florida or Arizona one day, he might open a restaurant. But, you know, we're pretty happy being small, where we can control what's going on. We can control our people. And, you know, we're at 11 units right now. And
is that considered small, or is that medium size?
I mean, as far as privately owned restaurants, it's a good size. But, you know, to not be franchised or be a national brand,
yeah.
But you know, we're comfortable with the 11. Everyone in the family can have their hands on every location and what's going on, and you know, you just better control, and
yeah,
and that's where they're comfortable, kind of in that family-owned restaurant. And within our communities, you know, pretty much from up and down Randall Road, from McHenry all the way to St. Charles.
That is a tough thing, though, in a business, isn't it? I have a small company, and when you can't have your hands in everything, that's very tough to bring somebody on and actually hand stuff off to them. So that's interesting. You're saying somebody in the family can be part of every one of them. Is that kind of one of the things that's thought about, is if we grow too much, then we really have to know who's running these things so that we can feel good about the quality and everything else with it?
Yeah, so about, you know, I've been with them for about 7 years, and they brought me in with my experience to kind of help them, you know, expand a little bit, to bring some consistency in operations and the food. And it's something, you know, Bob always tells me that without me, they couldn't have done. And, you know, but, you know, they're not going to have, they're not going to be hiring three or four guys like that. They're going to keep it small, keep their hands on it. But,
yeah.
You know, it's, you know, just, it's just like the smaller you are, the more you can control, and you might as well have what we have and just be able to have good quality, good food without, yeah. you know, expanding ourselves too much.
All right. What's coming up at the restaurants? What should people be looking out for?
So right now it's we got a great deal going on. You know, we have our dollar burgers at Rookies all through the month of September. And the great thing about that is football season starting. So you
yeah.
can actually come in, get a dollar burger. So it's funny. I think we talked about this a little bit at the break, but you
know, it's a dollar burger,
not burger,
a dollar
with chips.
Cheeseburger. It's a dollar burger, and if I want cheese on my burger, what is the upcharge on that?
See, it's not an upcharge. Let me set the record straight here.
Yeah, okay. You didn't order a burger.
It's a $3 cheeseburger. You're still getting Angus beef, fresh patty, broche bun, cheddar, aged cheddar cheese for $3. But so yeah, it is a $2 upcharge.
That's a good spin. You should be a politician.
Yes. We
$2 for a slice of cheese.
No. It's a $3 cheeseburger. I'm sticking with that. It's still a great deal, you know. And then right after September, we have our $1 chicken sandwiches going on.
Yeah.
We're always running different special menus at the different restaurants every quarter. We got Oktoberfest coming up at Alexander's, Old Republic, and Village Squire. You get some fresh, you know, homemade schnitzel, some spetzel. We're just always constantly, you know, keeping up with the times and seasons.
You know, what's funny is I spent a decent amount of time at Rookies over the years. Whenever we, with the kids in baseball, we were at Rookies a lot, and you've been kind enough to sponsor our softball team for the last year. And we always came in on Thursday nights after our games. In the fall, we switched to Tuesdays, and I had to miss this week. But Jim, my buddy, called me. He's like, "Hey, we're Rookies, and we're playing bingo. You could win $7,000 at this thing."
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of our restaurants, we do bar bingo. We have
yeah.
trivia nights where they change up the themes. It could be Disney. It could be, you know, old movies. And that's all our locations, not just Rookies. We do those everywhere except Alexander's. We have a trivia night or a bar bingo.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. There's
karaoke.
Always something good going on. Is there a website or places you want people to visit for more information on any of the properties?
Kind of all our websites are linked together for Rookies. And Alexander's and Squire. So if you go to one website, then it'll link you to all the other websites.
And what's one of the websites that people can visit? Should have known that right away. We got to look that up now, don't we? I'll bring you that after the news. You'll give it to me off the air, and I'll tell everybody. But all the Rookies locations in Elgin, and where are all the Rookies locations? Elgin, Roselle.
Huntley.
Yeah, we got Elgin, Roselle, Huntley, Hoffman Estates, and St. Charles.
Dollar burgers all month long. Go see a Bears game. Go see a Cubs game at a Rookies. Have a dollar burger and have a couple of brews. And look for Grant and John when you're in one of those locations.
Well,
guys,
hopefully you can hit the score thing when the Bears score more points than last week.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is we didn't get to hit the touchdown button this yesterday for the Bears.
That's right. Do you guys have something that goes crazy in the restaurant just like for the Hawks?
We do. For Cubs, Hawks, Bears, everything, we got a little fun action of some stadium effects within the restaurant.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, real quick, Robert in Oakbrook has a question for you guys that I think is pretty interesting. Let's get this in real quick before news. Hey, Robert, how are you? You're on 720 WGN.
Hey, congratulations. Listen, those $3 burgers are better than, there's another chain out there that charges you $15, and Rookies has got a better burger than they do. So I'm telling you, it's a hell of a deal.
All right, I'll let them know.
We appreciate it.
What was your question?
But my question to you is, why Illinois? Why with the crazy taxes? I have a small little cottage on the Chain of Lakes, and what I pay in real estate taxes is nuts. And you know you pay high taxes here. Why not Wisconsin right over the border or Michigan or Indiana where taxes are dirt cheap?
All right, we'll have him answer it. Thanks, Robert.
You know, we have our the family, the Karras family has their roots here since the 60s, and they've pretty much been open up a restaurant every decade since, and, you know, it's just not as easy to up and move, and,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot going on in Illinois right now, and I'm not going to comment on that, but, you know, we're happy with our locations, and, you know, who knows what the future holds. And by the way, that website is rookiespub.com.
Rookiespub.com for all the information. Cookie text, can Rookies open in Kenosha, Wisconsin? So there you go. Another
Kenosha, Wisconsin. You know, we just opened up Roselle. You never know. if there's a good opportunity, who knows where we can end up.
But it's got to get tough to get out of, like, all of your locations, like you said, up and down Randall Road in that area. It's easy to get to all of them for your deliveries. Everything you order probably can be within a group. When you expand like that, that's got to get tougher because now you're, you know, all different suppliers, everything has got to be a little bit tougher, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way we open restaurants is we can pretty much, we have a system in place where we go in and, you know, we train, we open. So that's not as tough, but, you know, just right now we're comfortable with the 11. Who knows what the future holds. I do have a little surprise. I can't say the name of the concept, but we did just close on a property in downtown Geneva, which will be our 12th restaurant.
Nice.
But we're not announcing what concept we're putting in there yet.
Is it a name I've heard tonight?
Maybe.
Possibly something new altogether?
Possibly.
Okay. All right. Well, when is that news going to break?
That news will break, you know, as the time goes on.
When we decide.
When we decide, yeah. We're shooting, you know, the Nick Smith is one of the family members. He married into the family, and he's been taking care of Old Republic and Elgin. That's his concept. And, you know, he's young. He's a little younger than everybody else, and he's working on expanding, and he's got some really good ideas, and I'm looking forward to
that. This is what the Karras family does. You marry in. We test you out. We push you, put you in one restaurant for a while. We see how you do, see if you're going to make it in the family, and then we'll lift you up after that.
You know, it's funny. That's exactly what they did to him, but it's worked out, and he's doing very well. And if you haven't been to Old Republic, check it out in Elgin.
Our family has been to Old Republic. Really good burgers there. It's a really good restaurant. It's a lot of fun. Grant and John, thanks so much for coming in tonight. RookiesPub.com. Check out more information. And as he said, Dollar Burgers all this month in September at all the Rookies locations.